The First Testament lesson comes from the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 16. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 59. From Exodus 16, headed Bread from Heaven. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and you fill a bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We turn our attention to the New Testament. We're still in the Gospel of Matthew. We've sort of jumped back into the Gospel a little earlier than where we've been. We're in the 8th chapter. We are looking at verses 18 through 22. So let's listen for the word of the Lord. "Now, when Jesus saw great crowds around him, he gave orders to go to the other side of the sea. A scribe then approached him and said, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Another of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my father.' But Jesus said to him, 'Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead.'" The word of the Lord. Excuse me. So, what is America's favorite pastime? Okay, I heard baseball, heard football. Eating. Wheel of Fortune. So all of those. So, okay, how many baseball? All right. Football? Eating? Okay, that seems to be ahead. All right. So of all of these favorite pastimes, I don't think any of them can compare to the pastime that I am going to offer to you in this moment. The favorite game of America is the if-only game. Yeah, you guys are already with me. How many of you have ever played the if-only game? Right, we all play it, most of us, at some time in our life. If only I'd bought Apple and Amazon and not penny stock. If only I were a little younger. If only I were a little older. If only I were a little thinner. Okay, thank you. I'm getting that. And for some of us who are follicle challenged, if only we had a little more hair. We all play this if-only game, right? And no other animal can do it except us, because we can sort of see past, present, future. We can see possibilities. So we play the if-only game. And you might be wondering, well, John, why in the world is the if-only game? What does it have to do with this morning? And the answer is it has two things to do with our text this morning. The first is that in our Old Testament text, the Israelites play the if-only game. Okay, so I just want to bring us up to speed so we're all on board. This is kind of what's happened this season in the God's Greatest Hits sermon series. All right, so the story begins with the world is in a mess, and so God decides God's going to fix it. God calls this guy named Abram and his wife Sarai and says, through you, I'm going to bless all of creation, but you have to go to this place that I'm going to tell you to go. So they go along the way. They don't ever settle down. Their children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, end up in Egypt where they are captives. And while they're captives, they cry out to God. We need to be saved. Someone come and find us and set us free. So God sends Aaron. And they go and they say to Pharaoh, let the people go. And Pharaoh says, no. And so God, as the scriptures say, by a mighty hand, God brings about plagues and God sets God's people free. And then they go to the edge of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh changes his mind, and up come his troops, and the people are like, oh, this is terrible. And once again, God says, by a mighty hand, I'm going to set you free. And God does, parts the Red Sea. The people go through it. The Egyptians are killed, and the Israelites are happy. They're free. Okay. So that's where we left off last week's story. All right. Now, this week's story begins with the Israelites in what is referred to as Elim. It is an oasis. It's a place of abundance, a place of food. And Moses said, okay, we've been here 6 weeks, been here long enough, time for us to hit the road. We're headed to the land of promise. Woohoo! And so off they go, and the people realize they are going into a food desert. And by a food desert, I don't mean Detroit. I mean a real food desert. It is desert, and there is no food. And they cry out, and this is when they begin to play the if-only game. Verse 3, the Israelites said to Moses and Aaron, if only we had died by the hand of God in Egypt. If only you hadn't let us out here. If only we'd stayed. If only we hadn't listened to you. If only. Now again, you might say, well, that's fine, John. We all play the if only game. What's the problem here? And the problem is that the if only game can cause God's people to step out of drive, to take their life out of drive and put it into a different gear. Let me explain. When God called Abram and God set the people free in Egypt, God did it for a purpose. And the purpose was so that the people could go into the land of promise. And in the land of promise, they could launch a blessing revolution to the world. And so the task of the people of God was to keep moving through the desert, keep moving through the wilderness, keep moving to the promised land. And then they would be called to move out into the world to bless all of creation. And that's part of what Jesus is about, this sense of being in drive. These people say to Jesus, listen, you know, I've got something I need to do before I follow you. And Jesus says, no. Put it in drive, pedal to the metal, follow me. Okay? So there is this sense that God's people are always supposed to be in drive, moving out into the world, blessing all of creation, because that's why we've been called. But the problem with the if-only game is that if we play it the wrong way, we drop out of drive. The first thing the if-only game can do is it can put us in reverse. Okay? And that's what's going on here in this passage out of Exodus. That's the first thing. Right, so what do they say? If only we just stayed in Egypt by the flesh pots, meaning these big cauldrons of meat, we had lots to eat, everything was fine. There's this sense of nostalgia that creates an image of a world that never was. And by moving back to Egypt, which is what they really want to do, by moving back to Egypt, then it becomes impossible for them to bless the world. They're in reverse. And so so often that's what the church is tempted to do. We're tempted, sometimes we're even challenged, to put ourselves in reverse and to go backwards and to take away some of the blessing that we have offered. And what I mean by that is, about two and a half months ago, there was a group of conservative pastors who met in Nashville and issued what they called the Nashville Statement. Now, the people of Nashville didn't really appreciate this, but and basically what it said is, if you are a church that welcomes the full inclusion of all people, especially LGBTQ people, if you are that, then you are not Christian. You are not the church. But if only you go backwards, if only you take that blessing away, if only you remove them from the life of your church, then we will accept you as a Christian community. If only you go backwards, put it in reverse, take the blessing away, then we'll accept you. The if-only game is being played by the Israelites. If only we go back. If only we go back. The second thing the if-only game can do is it can put us into neutral. And this is what's going to happen. All right, so they cry out to God that they're dying. No food. And so what does God promise them? Promises them two things. Quail, manna. Right? I'm going to feed you quail and manna. And not only that, as the story continues, they get clothes that don't ever wear out. So they have everything they need. And what happens is they finally say, okay, well, we'll travel across the wilderness. And so off they go, and they get to the edge of the promised land, and they send some spies into the promised land, and the spies say, come back and say, there are giants in the land. And strong cities, and the people go, Listen, if only we stay right here, everything will be fine. We're not going into the promised land because there are giants there, and there are large cities with armies, and so we're not going to do this. So if only you'll just let us stay here. They drop in to neutral. This is what Martin Luther King Jr. was faced with in Birmingham. When he came to rally people to help bring about the downfall of segregation and the integration of lunch counters and the integration of the bus system in Birmingham. When he arrived there and was put in jail, the pastors in that city wrote him a letter and said, if only you'll just stop this right now. If only you do that, if only you just quit all of this, we'll think about down the road sometime or another fixing what needs to be fixed. We'll think about blessing the people the people of color. You know, we'll sort of maybe kind of sometime down the road give them the same blessings that we have if only you just stop. If only. Drops it into neutral. If only we just stay like we are, everything will be fine. But think about the image. If only we just stay as we are, then that says that there are people out there who need the blessing of God and the blessing of God in Jesus Christ who will never get it because we just stay put. Over the last couple of weeks, I hope what we've seen is a world that needs us to be in drive. A man with mental illness and hate gets to buy powerful weapons and guns down. Men, women, children. In the Mediterranean, one more time, 26 young women from Niger and Nigeria who are fleeing violence, who are fleeing utter poverty, trying to come to Europe, die on the trip over because the traffickers have given them a boat that will not make it. Turn on the television and hate speech is everywhere. There's anger, there's anxiety. The teacher I work with at Alcott had a child just blow up and hit her, had a parent come in and hit the parent's child in the classroom. There's just this sense that there's anger out there. And for those of us who tutor out at Alcott, we see dedicated teachers with too many students and too small classrooms and just struggling to help these students learn. This is a world that needs us as the church to be in drive. And guess what? We are a church that's in drive. There are many things about being one of your pastors that makes me proud, but this is one of the proudest things. This is a church that is in drive. We are in drive every Sunday morning when our children and youth get taught about the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ. And that love shapes them into being kind, compassionate, caring human beings who will go out and make a difference in the world in the name of Christ. That we come to this place, that you all show up week after week to be challenged to live your faith out in the world and to go out and make a difference. That's a church in drive. The fact that we send as many people as we do down to Alcott that would be in desperate straits without all that we bring them and give them and share with them and share the love that we have with them, that's a church in drive. The fact that we help with the Ruth Ellis Center, not only helping them feed LGBTQ youth who've been kicked out of their families, but we help them reconcile those families back together. That's a church in drive. The fact that the missionaries we support, we have one in the Philippines who's working on human trafficking to do their best to help the government and the churches there bring that to an end. And then in Africa, we have another young woman that we support who helps young ladies stand up against FGM, female genital mutilation, and tells them about the love of God in Jesus Christ, that they don't have to go through that to be loved and accepted and cared about and to be valued. This is a church in drive. And I am grateful to be part of this church that steps outside these walls and is helping to bless the world. But the danger, even with all of that being said, the danger is we can still play the if-only game. If only, you know, we could bless more people if only we had more members. And only if only we had more resources. And if only God would show us the perfect opportunity. If only we had all of these things, then maybe we could bless more people. But you know what? We'll just kind of go along doing what we're doing, which is good stuff, but we'll just kind of throw it into neutral. That's the danger of the if-only game. But the gift of God is that God has given us everything we need. Not only to bless the people that we are currently blessing, but to step out and continue to make an even greater difference in the world. To continue this explosion of blessing out into a hurting world. And some of you may have the next thing that we ought to be doing. The next place we ought to be making a difference. The next way we ought to be serving in the name of Christ. And if you do, and if you have it, don't just sit there and say, well, you know, if only we had. Share it with someone, share it with me, share it with us. Because I'll guarantee you that if there's a place God wants us to be, God will give us what we need to be there. And so my challenge to all of us this morning is to ask ourselves this question: how am I helping to keep this congregation in drive? How am I helping to keep this congregation in drive so that we can reach out to a hurting world through the love of God in Jesus Christ and change lives and change this world for the better? Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you give us so much. Help us to take ourselves, what we have, and help us to stay in drive, that your blessings might flow from here like a great river out into a parched world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.